grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to talk to you about alienation a little bit, and because of that, I'm going to share a story that Gord Creamer gave me this morning when I got here. He said, you've got to share this with the people. It's about Acts 2:38. It says, a woman had just returned home after an evening of church. She was startled by an intruder and caught the man in the act of robbing her home and yelled, stop, Acts 2:38, which is repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus so that your sins may be forgiven. But she just said Acts 2:38. And the burglar stopped in his tracks, and the woman calmly called the police, explained what she had done. And the officer was cuffing the man to take him in, and he asked the burglar, why did you just stand there? That old lady, all she did was yell a scripture to you. Scripture, replied the burglar. She said she had an axe and 2:38s. Knowing scripture can save your life in more ways than one. On a more sober note, I went to a funeral today, on Tuesday, and it was the funeral of one of the great healers that Windsor has had over the last half of the last century. In about seven different decades, Dr. Frank DeMarco practiced and established medicine. He was the first doctor to use penicillin in Windsor. He died at age 93. And at his funeral over at one of the Catholic churches, it was brought out that he brought healing in a lot more ways than to the body, to Windsor. Because in 1961, there was a strike in Windsor, and it was led by a group of Italian Canadians. The strike caused a lot of trouble within that corporation, and they, after the strike had settled, decided never to hire another Italian. Because that was so unfair, and it was somewhat racially motivated, Dr. DeMarco rallied the other Italian businessmen and leaders in town and brought them to that corporation. And after some dialogue, they decided to reverse their policy. And that story reminded me of how it used to be, and maybe in some circles still is, where we used to look down on people who were of a different race or a different creed, a different level of ability. Do you remember how we used to shy away from people with crutches or wheelchairs? Different origins of birth sometimes even would separate us. One line of separation that is probably still there for many of us is the level of health that a person has. Definitely it was the case with a leper. If you were a leper in the land of Israel, you were required, and these laws were given by God, to alert anybody that came close to you that you had this disease. You were supposed to cover your upper lip and say, I'm a leper, I'm a leper. And that would warn people not to come near and not to touch you. This is how outcast these people were. And I'm not sure of the customs in Syria, but I'm sure that Naaman felt the pain of having a terminal disease that probably made it hard for him to hug his wife and children, and hard for him to function. He wanted so desperately to be cured if there was any way. But there was no cure for leprosy until about the middle of the 20th century. Israel had his only hope. Now we have the hope of the Lord God in the person of Jesus Christ. And a leper that met Jesus called out to him and asked him to make him clean, to heal him. And Jesus did something unthinkable. It would be like doing a blood brothers with a person with HIV/AIDS. He touched the man. And that touch said more than any sermon. That touch showed that Jesus cared what happened to that man. Jesus touches him because he wants to bring healing to that man. He wants, first of all, to break that barrier that results in illness. This is why Jesus came. Because all illness, all divisions between people, anything that makes us shy away from one another is a result somehow of sin. Maybe it's not our sin individually, but it comes as a result of sin. Just as illness has symptoms, and the doctor will ask you, well, are you coughing or sneezing or do you have an ache or a pain? I can diagnose what you have from what you've told me. So it exists. Symptoms exist. Anything that separates us is a symptom of sin in our world. And the diagnosis is simple. Without forgiveness, we're doomed. But with God's grace and forgiveness, we can be brought back together and we can be healed. And relationships can be healed as well. And so Jesus made many, many efforts. He would go and eat with sinners. He would put his hands on little children. When the disciples said to send them away, Jesus said, no, let them come and I'll bless them. He went into people's homes, such as a tax collector, Zacchaeus. But he was doing more than just touching, wishing that the man would get better. He actually healed him. Jesus' touch was an answer to that man's prayer that he be clean. Now Jesus' touch does not come without a price, because once you've touched a leper, you are now unclean. Just like a nurse or a doctor that has been contaminated with the blood of a patient has to have an HIV test to see if they are clean or not from that disease. So Jesus takes the risk of becoming unclean. The Bible says he carried all our diseases. Just as disease is contagious, so is sin. And Jesus ended up with our sin to the extent that he had all of it when he was dying on the cross on Good Friday. And that sin resulted in the same thing that happens to us when we sin. We are cut off from God. And he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, he knew the reason why. It was because he was bearing the sin of the whole world. The world is not a fresh and clean place. But it is a ward of bleeding, oozing, gagging people. And we would like it to be the beautiful creation it was on the sixth day when Adam and Eve were in the garden, but it is not. But the good news is that Jesus came and joined in our world to make it clean once again. Now, if it is true that Jesus can touch and make people well, then it is also true that he can make people well with our touch. With physical touch, we can actually bring the healing gifts of Jesus to people. It happened in the book of Acts many times and in the Gospels that Jesus gave his disciples authority to heal people, and they would place their hands on people and they would get better. People would touch the garments of the apostles and they would be healed. I haven't healed very many people. I prayed for them. I wished them to be better. But the reason is because I can't heal anybody, and neither can you. But Jesus can. Because remember that his touch is not just about physical health. It's about the forgiveness of sins. And when we extend a touch to somebody, they can be reminded of the love of God that does forgive sins and does have grace and does break down the barriers that are there because of sin. Now, this man, the leper, is different from us in one way. He disobeys Christ in a different way than we might disobey Christ. And that's because the leper has a different command than we have. Disobedience to Christ's commands gets in the way of his work. Just as when a child disobeys their parent or grandparent, it makes things more difficult. Or a student in the classroom disobeys, it makes it more difficult. So when we disobey Christ, it makes his work more difficult. Even if we have the best intentions, we don't always know what Christ has in mind with his commands. It was probably a mystery to this leper. Why was he being told not to tell anybody? How could you keep a secret like that? But Jesus said, keep it still, go and tell the priest. And the leper disobeys. It's called the messianic secret. It's probably because Jesus didn't want the people to get the wrong idea that he was trying to be a sensationalist or a wonder worker, just like he was when he taught about the other miracles. But look at how we are different from the leper. We get the healing touch of Jesus. We sin. We're sick from sin. We get helped. We receive his own body and blood from the altar. It touches our lips and goes inside our bodies, literally. And we are forgiven of our sins. And Jesus speaks a word on our behalf. Every day he's praying for you to God. Take care of my servants. Thinking of us each by name before God. And saying, I'm proud of them. Treat them nice, Dad, because they're my flock. I love them. And then Jesus commands us to go and tell. Go and tell that he died on the cross. Go and tell that sins can be forgiven and that people can be drawn to God back again, and that there is a God and he is a good God. And do we really talk about it that much? Do we talk about anything else but our good God. Let me just give you one way, and you don't even have to open your mouth. One way that we can be a better witness to the love of our good God. And it's in the way that we touch people. I'll never forget it when I first heard about it, but there's this one Russian author, I think it's either Tolstoy or Dostoevsky, and they give this image in a book of this man who is so compelled by the love of Christ that it bothers him that he can't reach out and touch people. And so one day, it just bothers him so much that he goes downtown and he finds the most ugly, horrible, smelling, gross, homeless person sleeping in the gutter in a pool of who knows what. And he lays down beside the guy and he's practically, you know, getting sick from it. And he lays down beside the guy and holds on to him all night long. So compelled to touch. A little bit less graphic is the way St. Valentine touched people. He encouraged, as an officer in the Roman army, the soldiers under him to marry the women that they loved. The emperor, on the other hand, said no soldier should marry because it will detract from their willingness to die for Rome. But Valentine knew that it was wrong for these men to have sexual relations outside of marriage, and so he married lots of his soldiers. And for that, he was thrown in prison. While in prison, he encountered a young blind girl, the daughter of the jailer. And due to his relationship with her, he was allowed to send notes. Notes of love and encouragement outside the jail. And those became the first Valentines. Just like the cards that we distribute on the 14th of February. Valentine's touch was real through those cards. And they say, we don't know, but they say that that blind girl was healed and able to see after Valentine was martyred and thrown to the lions. Touch is one of Gary Chapman's five love languages, with which we all have a favorite one that we speak to each other. Some use gifts and receive gifts and feel loved when they receive gifts. Show their love by giving gifts. Others by words of praise given and received. That's their love language. Some use acts of service as their love language. Do you know what yours is? Others use time spent with other people as a way of feeling that they are being loved or a way of showing love. And the third or the fifth of those is touch. Some people by hugs or handshakes or pats on the back are able to show and feel the love from other people. And if we know another person's love language, we are able better to communicate receiving and giving love with them. Dr. Frank DeMarco was a healer. Because in his way of showing love, he helped people be brought closer to health in their bodies and health in the community. And we are blessed for having had him here in Windsor. Your touch as well. However you decide to do it, will help bring the healing power of Christ Jesus to other people. In his name and for his sake. Amen. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.